In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're at the bottom of page 87. And we are going to read volume 33, 326, 1937. And Jesus says to Louisa, now these souls who live in my divine will. So Jesus is always talking to Louisa about the souls who must live in my divine will. These are the souls who he says he has planned from the beginning of time to live in the divine will. So these souls who must live in the divine will, he says. So these souls who live in my divine will are disposed to receiving all of the sufferings of my holy humanity. So what does that mean? That means that our life in the divine will is a life of martyrdom, but it's not the martyrdom of the saints. It's the martyrdom of martyrdoms. It's the martyrdom of Jesus and Mary, both on Calvary, where Jesus said, Our Lady would have died if it wasn't for the divine will. So the sufferings of Jesus's holy humanity is for us, it's not to be worried, not to be fearful, not to be anxious, not to be complaining, not to be negative, not to be doubting. And so the souls who live in my divine will, and hopefully that's us, will receive all the sufferings of Jesus's holy humanity, because it being impossible for me, Jesus, to suffer, because I am glorious in heaven, my will with its omnipotent breath creates the suffering and the sorrows and forms there my living humanity that substitutes for me in everything. Now, this is important to hear, because Dina Bellinger, when she was, Jesus told her, you're going to die on such and such a date. She told the sisters, because all the sisters believed, and she said, Jesus told me I'm going to be dead on this day. So the sisters were all there praying, and, you know, they're praying, waiting for her to die. And that day shows up and she doesn't die. And all the sisters go, well, maybe we weren't right about her. They leave. And 2 weeks later, Jesus appears to Sister Mary Ephraim, Dina Bellinger. And she says to Jesus, you told me I was going to die on that day. And as you can see, I did not die. And Jesus says, yes, you did die. You did die. And I am your divine substitute. When this body of yours dies, you will see that you've been in heaven that entire time while I have been reigning in you. I have been living in you. And this is, listen to this. Living my holy humanity that substitutes for me in everything. So we get a glimpse of, it's going to seem as if nothing's happening, but in reality with us, we're going to suffer all the sufferings of Jesus's holy humanity. So this is a mystery. A lot of people, you know, we live in a society where, you know, we snap our fingers and that we should have something to eat immediately. And Jesus shows us that in the mystical, in this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that Louisa lived, it incorporated suffering. And it was the crucifixion that Louisa went through. Now, for us, it's not exactly the same. These three, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, did everything. And they were surrendering. And now Jesus says, I want the souls who live in my divine will, who are disposed to receive all the sufferings of my holy humanity. By living my holy humanity that substitutes for me in everything, they are the new saviors who will give their life in order to save the entire world. So, what Jesus is offering to us is this offering of self, so that the whole world will be able to embrace this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, the divine will, the life that Jesus breathed into Louisa. Listen to what he says. He wants us to be so like him that these who substitute for me are like the new saviors. See, we're sharing in his divinity, who give their life in order to save the entire world. So when something happens to us, what we've learned in the divine will is the three things that Jesus taught Louisa. Number one, whatever happens, you say to Jesus, thank you for allowing me to know this, whether you hear it or you see it. Thank you, Jesus, for showing this to me. And it could be a great evil. And Lord, number one, I thank you for this. Lord, you're showing me this is happening to you. So who is it offending the most is God himself. Lord Jesus, number two, number three, what I want is I want to repair this and redo this. This is renewing the face of the earth. This is saving the entire world. Jesus has already done this. Mary has already done this. And now what they've done is they found the newborn Louisa, who they breathe this life of the new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus and Mary, into this little soul. And she suffered immensely. And we partake in that suffering to a limited degree, because most of us, we don't have the grace to go through it as Louisa did. But Jesus says, these souls who are going to live in the divine will, I'm going to give them the opportunity to save the world as I did, as my mother did, as we gave to Louisa, the destiny of the world. In fact, Jesus says, from heaven, I look at the earth and I find as many Jesuses who, taken by the same folly of my love, give their life at the cost of sufferings and the cost of death in order to tell me, I am your faithful copy. The sufferings make me smile because I enclose souls. See, it's to participate. See, the Father, when the Father looks at the world, he says, who loves my son? Who wants to be like my son? Who wants to walk in his footsteps? And the souls that are in love with God say that to God. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow in your steps. So Jesus tells Louisa, from heaven, I look at the earth and I find many souls who want to live in the divine will, who they are many Jesuses who have taken by the same folly of my love. What is true love? True love is to die for your brother, to die for mankind. That's Jesus. That's Mary. He says, and this is the folly of God's love, to give their life at the cost of sufferings and the cost of death. So the sufferings that we go through at this point is not to give life to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. No more doubts. To understand that this book of heaven that God has given to us gives us the how and the why the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. And we say, yes, Lord, what do you need me to do? And he says, are you serious? Are you serious? Are you really true to what you're saying? And when we say, yes, Lord, he says, okay, I'm going to ask you to, at the cost of your own life, cost of sufferings and death, I want you to follow the same folly of my love, the love of humanity. And the grace that Jesus says that he gives, he says the grace that he gave to the saints is limited, but the grace that he gives to the children of the divine will is unlimited. It's as much as we want or as little as we want. So what the Lord is offering to us, as he said to his apostles, 30, 60, or 100 fold, what do you want? I have to give this to you. So our job is not to, no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. Our job is to be Jesus to everyone that Jesus brings to us. It's to help as many as you can. Now, there will be people that will be stubborn. There will be people that will basically not listen to basically the divine will, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can help them to a degree, but everybody has a free will. Everybody does what they want. And our job is not to be upset, but to pray more for them, pray more so that God can find in them a divine substitute. He can become their divine substitute and they can become his divine substitute. So this is something that, again, is a mystery, and it's not what we think. It's going to be very surprising. The fiat that God is asking of us to give is always yes. It's always being in love with God. So to Mary, Mother Most Faithful, each priest may entrust himself. So here, this is essential. The priest must have Mary as their mother. In the Blessed Mother, who was the model of that maternal love, which must inspire all who cooperate in the regeneration of men in the apostolic mission of the Holy Church. So this regeneration, I love that word, regeneration. God is asking us to be so docile that he, the Lord God Almighty, can bring regeneration to the earth, one person at a time. Okay, so this surrender to the Blessed Mother, as Jesus said to John, this is your mother, and to Mary, this is your son. As each priest, each person surrenders to the Blessed Mother, and again, a great day is coming up this Thursday, the Immaculate Conception, a great day, a glorious day, which the United States has been consecrated to, Our Lady of America. You're going to see there, God's got great plans. And so Jesus says, Mary was the model in the maternal love that must inspire all who cooperate in the regeneration of humanity in the apostolic mission of the Holy Church. Priests will find constant protection and help for the renewal of their lives and help to draw out from their priesthood a renewed and more intense zeal for the extension of the Holy Gospel on the threshold of this third millennium of redemption. So we've entered that third millennium. John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II said, we have to get ready for the glory of the church in the new springtime of mankind. This glory of the church, this new springtime of mankind, we should have great zeal for this. None of us should be upset. He showed us, and if you read Father Gobi, if you read what Our Lady said to Father Gobi, if you've read, you know, other apparitions of Our Lady throughout the world, she's always saying, get ready for the return of my son. Jesus said that to St. Faustina. The final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's the final devotion. There's no more devotions after that. We are in the final devotion. We are in the third millennium of the redemption. This is the 7,000th year. A day will be like 1,000 years. 1,000 years will be like a day. What do we see in sacred scripture? It's the evening of the first day, the morning of the second. The evening of the second day, the morning of the third. It's always the evening, then the morning. But there's no morning or evening of the seventh day, the seventh millennium. Why? Because the kingdom is coming during this time. We have to understand everything is getting ready. Everyone and everything is getting ready for a change. Everything, even the Milky Way is spinning in the universe in such a way that where we are, we're entering a new, if you want to say dimension. That's a poor way of putting it, but we're entering into a new frequency, and the frequency that we've been in for the last 6,000 years has been negative. Now Jesus says, now the kingdom. And he's saying to us, what I want you to do is to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. So our job is to understand where we are. And this is why we have to have an intense zeal to begin to live this life. It's nothing like what has ever happened before. We cannot even imagine, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what's coming to the earth. It's the new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied about. It's the whole book of heaven that Jesus gave to Louisa. This is again, we should have such a great zeal for the kingdom that nothing can stop us. Nothing can. It doesn't matter what people say, what people do, what people think. What matters is, are we one with God, like he said, to save the entire world? Are we one with God to be one with Christ crucified? You know, I mean, it's important that we understand the priest wears black. Why? He's dead to the earth. The earth is not for him. Our job is to enter into life, abundant life. That's the whole book of heaven. God wants us to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness, entering into intense zeal for the extension of the gospel. And as we are now, we've now entered the third millennium. This is a glorious time. John Paul II went all around the world to tell everybody, get ready, get ready, get ready. Go back to the Blessed Mother, get back to prayer, get back to Eucharistic adoration. Oh, come, let us adore him. During this time of Advent, that's what I'm hearing. Jesus wants us to come to adore him, to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. And he's giving us this book of heaven to help us get closer and closer to true adoration. Now, a lot of people, they get in front of the Blessed Sacrament and they open a book and they read it. There's Jesus in front of them. And they're reading a book. Yeah, Saint Teresa said, if you can't fall in love with God, if you can't think of anything to fall in love with God for, then read a little bit. But then focus on him. Fall in love with God. That's our job. So this intense zeal should take over our life so that we can really begin to live this abundant life. So volume 33, 513, 1935. It gives labor to the celestial mother because finding my divine will in humanity, in the creature, this is first of all in Louisa, she finds the one who keeps the Blessed Mother company, who receives the Blessed Mother as a daughter, or now with the men as a son. Do we have the Blessed Mother as our mother? Do we? Do we pray the rosary every day? Do we wear the scapular every day? Do we spend our time, like for in May, focusing on the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will? The other book that we have that's wonderful is The Prodigies of the Blessed Mother. Read, if you haven't read The Prodigies, you're not even close to Our Lady, what Our Lady wants us to possess. So we keep her company and we receive her maternity as son, as daughter. She finds the one, Louisa, and those who are linked to Louisa, to whom she can communicate her fecundity, her acts done in my most holy divine will. So we now can participate in everything that Our Lady did with her thoughts, with her words, with her deeds. We can participate because in the divine will, we all are part of this. What Jesus and Mary have done as the new Adam and the new Eve, we are called to do. So this, the entering into this abundant life is what our God has planned for us from the beginning of time. He's asking us to do this. He didn't ask the saints. They didn't have Louisa. Our God wants us to begin to live this abundant life, and he really needs us to cooperate. He really does. So he says this. She finds one in whom our Blessed Mother can make her model, her faithful copy, image and likeness. And oh, the contentment of this celestial mother, diligent labor, her cares, her maternal attentions, so that the Blessed Mother can act as a true mother and give that soul her divine inheritance. It's the divine inheritance of Jesus and Mary that we're going to get. This is not about being good and holy and saintly. That's what the saints have had. Now is the time to enter into this abundant life. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to turn to the Blessed Mother so that we can become a faithful copy of Mary. Our Lady's care, our Lady's maternal attention over all these centuries, now she can act as a true mother to be able to give the souls this divine inheritance that Jesus and Mary have given to Louisa. A divine inheritance. MMP, Our Lady speaks to her priests, her beloved sons, the way of unity. October 27th, 1980, 2213, section. It's either I or L. I'm not sure. And who better than your heavenly mother can help you to love, can help you to understand, to help you to have compassion for each other, to know and to esteem each other. This esteem is very, very essential to be a child of Jesus and Mary. To be a true son or daughter of Mary, you have to have the esteem for one another. It's not just liking. It's not just you're my brother, you're my sister. It's to esteem that soul as a child of God. That's what Our Lady wants from us. To have this esteem for one another. She's the only one that can do this. She's the only one to help us to love and understand and have compassion for humanity. For this reason, a true reunion of Christians, is not possible without an effort toward the interior conversion and purification in order to attain solely the fulfillment of the divine will. So at this point, with what the saints have given us isn't enough. What the saints have shown us isn't enough for what we need to do. We need to be so true to Jesus and Mary, like Louisa, that their life, their light, their love is radiating in us to help one another, to bring that esteem, that love, that compassion for one another. It's not just about being good and holy and saintly. It's to live the life of Jesus and Mary. Jesus and Mary, who basically died on Calvary for us. Mary, Jesus says, lived because of the divine will, but her sorrow was so great. She was dying, but the divine will wouldn't let her die at that point. So this is, again, it says, His Holiness John Paul II on the 31st of January, 1994, approved this directory and authorized its publication by Cardinal Jose Chantes. Okay, so with the blessing, okay, of Pope Leo XIII. Now, here's something that's really, really, really important for those in the United States. With the blessing of Pope Leo XIII, priests healing with the curative waters, Our Lady said that there'll be more miracles in Lourdes, and there are more miracles here in the United States than Lourdes and Fatima. So this priest brought his healings to Pope Leo XIII, the Our Lady of America, the Immaculate Virgin, patroness of our land. In the lowlands of the once Canepi Springs Sanitarium, Rome City, Indiana. If you haven't been to Rome City, Indiana, you're missing something. Now known as it's the Mother of Mercy Chapel. Now it's changed to the Holy Family of Nazareth. I think that's it. Our Lady of America, the Immaculate Virgin, allegedly appeared to Sister Mary Ephraim in 1956, and there are 12 magnetic springs. At this site of the treatment of Monsignor Sebastian Canepe, were practiced, a great many of invalids were annually cured of chronic ailments by drinking the waters from these springs. Now, I told you what happened to me. I was having chest pain 3 years ago, and I thought I had to go to the doctors. And oh, thank you for your prayers. Anyways, prayers are powerful. Thank you. This is really great. But So somebody said, drink some water from Our Lady's springs. And I said, all right. You know, so as soon as the water touched my lip, I felt instantly healed and 20 years younger. Nothing ever happens to me, but I went, so this is what it feels like to be healed. I mean, it was like a slap in the face. If you want to, it was really a diving into ice cold water. It was really something amazing. So there are going to be, see what's coming to the earth. Our Lady said prodigies unheard of are going to come to humanity. And it's not the healing that happened 100 years ago through the saints. It's not that healing. It's a divine healing that's coming that will make all the healings of the previous centuries look like nothing compared to what's coming. So listen to this. Monsignor Canepi treatment was essentially summarized as the principles of hydrotherapy, treatment of disease or disability by external applications of water united with a simple living, wholesome exercise, and regular rest. This healing, this is the thing that's so exciting. This healing that's coming is, listen to what, it's from a priest. This healing that's coming, and this is to help us understand the importance of the priesthood. The priests, I mean, the major healings that I've seen are through anointing of the sick and using the relic of Louisa. I've seen that over and over and over again. But what Jesus is showing us, this is it. Oh, if the poor, the agonized, this is what Monsignor Sebastian Canepi said. Oh, if the poor, agonized, ailing humanity would only come to understand that only in the return back to nature, a change of life for the better is possible. So, like I said, the universe is spinning. We're entering in this new era, this higher frequency. What is coming is so astonishing that we're going to look back at this life and go, man, we were nowhere close to what God has planned. What God has got planned for humanity, and this is why everything has to be tested, everything has to be tried, so that humanity can embrace this gift of gift. Okay, so again, the imprimatur for this healing, this curative water healing of the priests that the priests bring about was given the imprimatur by Cardinal Farley, Archbishop of New York, on October 1st, 1910. So 112 years ago. And we don't know about it yet. We don't know about it yet. See, God is he loves to hide things. Remember with St. Louis de Montfort, everything was hidden for in a trunk. For what was it, over 150 years. And then boom, there it was. Now is the time that our God is saying, get ready for what I'm going to do for humanity. Now, it might look bleak out there at this point, but don't worry, God is in charge. So Monsignor Sebastian Canepi and his approved methods for healing, pictured here with His Holiness Pope Leo XIII, received an audience, the priest conferring upon him the distinction of secret chamberlain promoted to Monsignor by Pope Leo XIII. The curative waters at Rome City, Indiana, in that chapel, can be used by the priest. Listen to this. This is what the Pope said. Used by the priest for healings of the peoples together with the relic of the servant of God. This is what I've seen. And the potentiality that of the seer, Sister Mary Ephraim, through Our Lady of America, the Immaculate Virgin, patron of the United States of America. The interesting thing is, What's going to come to the earth is healing, divine healing. And let's just pray the prayer. I think it was, this was written by Sister Mary Ephraim on behalf of Our Lady of America. And she said this. This is the prayer. Prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. O Mary, Mother of Jesus Christ, Mother of Priests, accept this title, which we bestow on you to celebrate your motherhood and your contemplate with you the priesthood of your son and of your sons. O Holy Mother of God, Mother of Christ to the Messiah priest, you gave a body of flesh through the anointing of the Holy Spirit for the salvation of the poor and contrite of heart. Guard the priests in your heart and in the church, O Mother and Savior. O Mother of Faith, you accompanied your Son at the temple in fulfillment of the promises made to the fathers to give to the Heavenly Father for his glory, priests of his Son, O Ark of the Covenant. O Mother of the Church, among the disciples in the cenacle, you prayed to the Holy Spirit for the new people and their shepherds to obtain the order of presbyters, the full measure of gifts, O Queen of the Apostles. O Mother of Jesus Christ, you were with him from the beginning of his life, and in his mission, you sought the Master among the crowd. You stood beside him when he was lifted up from the earth and consumed as the one eternal sacrifice, and you had John, your son, close by, accepting from the beginning those who have been called to protect their growth in their life ministry. Accompany your sons, O Mother of Priests. Amen. This next prayer was written by Sister Mary Ephraim. Sorry, I made a mistake there. And see, this is, you have to understand what is coming to the earth is so exciting. There's no limit to what God is going to do. He's really asking us to enter into this life so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Enter into this life, this priesthood, in order to bring all of humanity with them to heaven. It's the priest leads the flock. And it's been unfortunate, you know, for the last maybe few decades, where the priest is the last to embrace this gift of gifts. It's not by chance that God now is asking the priesthood to embrace this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II has prepared the world for the last, his last 27 years. He went all around the world. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready for what? Well, if you really have listened to him, I remember in Denver in 93, he got up there and they were all yelling out, John Paul II, we love you. It was a chant. John Paul II, we love you. John Paul II. And he's looking at everybody, looking at all those kids. And he leaned into the microphone and he said, we will see. See, it's if we really listened, our life would be different. If we really put into practice what he said, we would be different. And so what God has done, this is what I see with this great gift of the divine will. He's given it to us. See, what happened is, it was 1993, 1994, the cause began. 1996, the writings came out of the secret archives of the Vatican. Everything has changed, Jesus says. He says, he said to Louisa, once these books are released, the world, it's going to change the face of the earth. We have in our hands, if we have the book of heaven, the way and the how God is going to work so powerfully. And again, you can't say how he's going to do it. He's going to do it. But our Lord has got the most fantastic ways of doing things. He knows how to, he knows how to help us understand from a divine perspective. He's going to make it very clear that as Lord, as God, as King of Kings, the head of his church, he's the head, the Pope's the neck. He's the head of the church. He is going to lead his church to such a height that all of humanity is going to be Catholic. We read that earlier. There will be one church. There will be one flock. There will be one shepherd. That is going to happen. There's not going to be many religions. There is how God breathed this gift into Adam. There's not many Adams. There is the Adam and Eve, and they failed. The new Adam and the new Eve come to earth, and they won. They've won. This 2,000 years has been a time of rest, Jesus says, and now the kingdom is coming. Now I've planned for my children to begin to live this new and abundant life. We should be on fire, understanding that our God has called us from the beginning of time to live at this time to begin to live a new and divine way of holiness. This isn't saintly. That's volume 1 through volume 10. This isn't good. That's volume 1 through volume 10. This isn't holy. That's volume 1 through volume 10. Starting with volume 11, once you get into this, you got to become a saint first. But once you get into this, volume 11 is to live through the power of the Holy Spirit, this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. Never before seen. Luis is the first one to possess this. And God is saying, I'm calling you to enter into this life that I breathed into Louisa. Why? So that we can go to volume 20 through volume 36. What's that? It's to receive, like we read earlier, the divine inheritance of the Father that was given to Jesus and Mary to bring to the earth. This new and divine way of holiness isn't the same old, same old. You know, somebody says, well, it's a, you know, the divine will, it's another devotion. No, it's not another devotion. It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that's breathed into the newborn, Louisa, who Jesus says, I finally found a human who can receive all that I wanted Adam to have and his children. And this human, Louisa, has now the true life of the new Adam, true life of the new Eve, Mary. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she? As you read, as you study, each and every one of us is going to understand Louisa in a unique way. Who is this Louisa? Why did God breathe this Ruah of God, this breath of God in a human again? We have been redeemed, and now Jesus says, now is the time to be sanctified. So here's the prayer that was done by the imprimatur was brought by Archbishop Leopold. Prayer to Our Lady of America, patroness of our land. O Immaculate Mother, Queen of our country. See, this is what we want. We want to have Our Lady understand where we're coming from. Open our hearts, open our homes, open our land to the coming of Jesus, your divine son. This is the whole reason for Our Lady appearing all around the world. Reign over us, O Heavenly Lady, so pure and so bright with a radiance of God's light shining in and about you. The new Adam, Jesus, I am the light of the world, the new Eve, Mary. This pure, bright, radiant light, God's light shining in and about Our Lady. And that's the other thing too. When you go to Rome City, you will see the miracle of the sun. It's always there. Be our leader against the powers of the evil set upon wrestling the world of souls. The souls that were redeemed at such a great cost by the suffering of your son and of yourself in union with him. And from that same Savior who loves us with infinite charity, we gather about you, O chaste, O Holy Mother, Virgin Immaculate, patroness of our beloved land, determined, this is the zeal, to fight under your banner of holy purity against the wickedness that would make all the world an abyss of evil without God and without your loving maternal care. We have to have that strength, we've mentioned it before, of Saint Joan of Arc. I am not afraid. I was born for this. God is with me. God is with us. Listen to this prayer. You get a glimpse of Sister Mary Ephraim, of how much she loved Jesus and Mary. We gather about you, O chaste and holy mother, Virgin Immaculate, patroness of our beloved land, determined to fight under your banner of holy purity against the wickedness that would make all the world an abyss of evil without God and without your loving maternal care. We consecrate our hearts. We consecrate our homes. We consecrate our land to your most pure heart, O great queen, that the kingdom of your son, our redeemer, and our God may be firmly established in us. That's what God wants to see. Who wants this? And is it in you? We ask no special sign of you, sweet mother, for we believe in your great love for us, and we place in you our entire confidence. We promise to honor you by faith, to honor you by love, and to honor you by the purity of our lives according to your desire. Reign over us, O Virgin Immaculate, with your Son, Jesus Christ, the King and Queen of heaven and earth. May his divine heart and your most chaste heart be ever enthroned and glorified among us. Use us, your children of America and the world, as your instruments of peace among men and nations. Work your miracles of grace in us. Bring these miracles, these healings, so that we may be a glory to the most blessed Trinity, who created, who redeemed, and who now sanctifies us. May your valiant spouse, Saint Joseph, with all the holy angels and saints, assist you and us in renewing the face of the earth. See, this is it. It's to renew the face of the earth. This isn't normal. This is going to transform the face of the earth. We have to understand this. Assist you and us in renewing the face of the earth. This should be our passion. This should be our life. When our work is over, come, O Holy Immaculate Mother, and as our victorious Queen, lead us to the eternal kingdom, where your Son, Jesus, reigns forever as King. Amen. This prayer is essential. As we enter into the divine will, Jesus says your prayers become commands. Why? Jesus is praying in us. Mary is praying in us. It's their prayer. So when we pray in the divine will, we usually end, may this prayer become your command, Lord. It's what Peter did when he was walking on the water. If you are the Messiah, he says, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. Peter did a divine thing. God expects divine things. He really does. With this prayer and the divine will, everything changes. Everything changes. So I'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.